This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for the 16th Sunday after Holy Trinity is according to St. Luke's Gospel. Looking over the lessons today, we see some pretty reoccurring themes. For one, the theme of suffering runs throughout all three of our texts. The widow of Zarephath suffers when her son dies. St. Paul suffers in prison as he writes to the Ephesians. There is also the widow of Nain who suffers when her son dies. Suffering ties all these texts together. Suffering ties us to these texts as well. We can relate, every one of us. Who among us hasn't suffered? Who among us hasn't lost someone close to us? Who among us hasn't had to grieve the death of a loved one? Some of you have even known the very same sufferings as these two widows who had to bury their own children. You've been there as well. You know the suffering these ladies experience. Some of you know it in a very present tense kind of way. You continue to suffer and you grieve your loss. You can definitely relate to these women. And that brings us to another common theme. Common theme in these readings is the miracle of resurrection. The widow's suffering was turned, in fact, to joy. Both these widows experienced a profound miracle, the resurrection of their beloved sons. More than that, it was by means of these resurrection miracles that people were brought to recognize and glorify Almighty God. Now Elijah, he comes down the stairs with her now alive son in his arms, and the widow of Zarephath states very plainly, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, and your word is truth." Think about that. This woman who had spent weeks, probably months with Elijah, her flour and oil, remember, never ran out during that time, just like Elijah and God had promised. And yet, during all that time, she never truly knew or believed in Elijah's God, the one true God. Things were good, and then her son died. She sure was quick to blame God, wasn't she? She never recognized God in the bottomless stores of flour and oil, but when life came crashing down, she immediately knew who to blame. It's a very all too common theme. It took the resurrection of her son to finally wake up and convert her to faith. "Now I know that the word of Yahweh in your mouth is truth." And the same can be said for the Nain townfolk. Nain was a small town only a few miles from Nazareth, where Jesus spent the first 30 years of his life. There can be little doubt that they knew Jesus. They were all good Jews too. They knew Yahweh. They weren't like the Gentile widow from Zarephath. They were good and faithful Yahweh-loving Jews. And yet it takes the resurrection of one of their own for them to truly recognize and glorify God. "A great prophet has risen among us," they said. "God has visited his people," they said. They didn't recognize before, but when the dead boy sat up and started talking, everything changed in an instant. I guess that's where we could look back at each other and find commonality. The miracle of the resurrection worked a profound change in these people's lives, didn't it? Gentile or Jew, when something as powerful and crazy as the dead coming to life happened in their midst, everyone's faith redlined. It maxed out. They were now glorifying God because they now knew, without a doubt, that His word and His promises were truth. People say, man, I wish I could experience that. I'm sure you do. How much easier would it be for you to be strong in your faith if you bore witness to such a miracle? It reminds me of St. Paul. I'm not surprised at all that he can be so faithful, even as he's flogged, even as he's beaten, even as he's shipwrecked and confined in death row. He met Jesus face to face, blinding light and booming voice on that road to Damascus. He was rendered blind and then miraculously given the gift of sight. You know, I think a Damascus road experience would probably change me also. I'll have to think about that. Miracles have a way of changing people. Can you imagine if in the middle of a funeral, the deceased sat up and began talking and glorifying God? Our pews would be full the next Sunday. Everyone who bore witness to such a miracle would be profoundly changed. But maybe that's the problem. If we bore witness to such a powerful miracle, we would be changed. If we bore witness to such a powerful miracle, reports would go out immediately to every place, in every town, in every corner. What would these reports sound like? What would we say? Could we maybe be reporting the wrong things? Keep in mind that St. Luke makes a point of telling us that Jesus had compassion on the grieving widow, because this is critical. Contrary to popular opinion, death is not natural. I know death happens to one out of every one person. But that doesn't mean that it's natural. God has never intended for his children to die. He didn't create man with the intention of him dying. Death is not part of God's plan. Death grieves the Lord of life. Such grief is unmistakable with our Lord Christ when he encounters the widow going out to bury her son. It is here in the midst of death and sorrow that we see our Lord's mercy and compassion put on full display. One of my favorite Greek professors and my mentor in seminary, Dr. Oswald, one time said to me, one of the most remarkable things you see about Jesus in the Bible is everywhere he shows up, you see a restoration occurring. When Jesus is present, things return momentarily to give us what the Bible calls a foretaste of the feast to come. So everywhere Jesus arrives, the plan of God becomes apparent. When this merciful, life-giving compassion of God was witnessed firsthand, the people erupt in sort of a fearful joy. The townsfolk of Nain now glorify God. A great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people. What are they praising and glorifying, though? Do they praise and glorify God for his great compassion? Or do they praise and glorify God because they witnessed a powerful miracle? Remember, there's a difference. Just look around. You don't have to make eye contact, but quickly look around at the people here. Here is God's gracious compassion. Here is God's gracious love on full display. Here is Christ himself working the miracle of life, the miracle of forgiveness and peace in your midst. Here is Christ right where he promised to be, right where he tells us to look and listen and seek after him. This morning in our readings, we witnessed the miracle of resurrection. the dead being made alive. We witness the right here in our very hearing from the lectern as I read to you. This is the truth. And every time we've been present here in the sacrament of holy baptism, we witness one who was dead being made alive and their name being written in the book of life. No, the heavens didn't rend. A blinding light didn't beam down and loud booming voice didn't rattle the foundations. But here, make no mistake, in word and sacrament is Christ. In our very midst, baptizing, blessing, feeding, giving life to death, from death. Just like he's already done with you in your baptisms. Yes, you too have been baptized. Your body of sin and death has been washed and made alive in Christ. Has it changed you? If so, what does your report sound like? Trust me when I say you are a part of something miraculous. How much do you need to see from God? How much does He need to answer to you before you glorify and praise Him? It's the eternal question. Whenever I hear, well, you know, church numbers are really dropping in America, I say, that's right, because we have a bunch of ungrateful people who no longer know what a miracle looks like. We have a bunch of uncaring, unfeeling, broken, fallen, hardened-hearted people who forgot that they have been the recipients of more grace than they will ever be able to understand until the last day on the resurrection. No wonder our reports sound more like the stock market report. So what should your report sound like? Think about it. Maybe pray about it. Talk to God about it. Take a second and look at the altar. It's not made out of gold. It's not made out of silver or something shiny. But take a look at the rails. Also not made out of gold. Not made out of silver. Take a look at them. Because in a little bit, our Lord Himself will come down from heaven to feed us with His own body and blood. A body and blood that with it, if you read your scriptures, comes with it blessings and warnings. One of the warnings is that you shouldn't take of it if you don't discern it. So what do? We teach it. Now, we don't keep a secret. We're not the Masons. We're not the Gnostics. We say, come. I say it every Sunday. If you're not prepared, come and talk to me after church because I have some fantastic news for you. I have a report from the cross. That's what I do. So if you're not prepared, don't take it. Not because I hate you, but because I love you and there's still some news to give to you before you take of the Lord's Supper. And when people get all mad about that, I'm like, it's because you've forgotten about the miracles that you've been given. You've forgotten about the word that you have received. So He gives us His own body and blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins and for the peace that passes all understanding. In just a little bit, heaven is going to meet earth. Eternity is going to meet temporarily right in our midst. And this happens each and every Lord's Day as our confessions state. And as the Bible teaches, We meet here in God's holy house. This doesn't happen anywhere else. Anywhere that denies and rejects Christ's own word and promise regarding the sacramental means of grace. All these people, here who have been prepared are receiving Christ's true body and blood today. Will be the ones who come to this rail. What does your report sound like? What do you glorify and praise? It's a really easy thing to answer. Check your social media. I have a very comprehensive list of what is glorified and praised. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I lay this out in such a way because it matters. What I'm telling you is important. Here is the life-giving compassion of God for you. Look at the cross. Here is the greatest and most compassionate miracle of all. God doesn't punish us children of Adam for our sin, even though we darn well deserve it in his present and eternal punishment. Instead, miraculously, he has compassion on you. No, you don't deserve it. You haven't earned it, and you'll never be able to earn it no matter how hard you try. Not that anybody is. This compassionate love and mercy is a free and undeserved gift. Here is the miracle of God's compassion for you and for all people, made flesh, hung on a cross to die for you. Death grieves God so much that he gave his only begotten Son to suffer it in your place. God took on flesh and died so that you may have life and have it in eternal abundance. And this isn't a once upon a time kind of miracle either. God's compassionate love and mercy is ongoing. Don't forget that. This cruciform compassion is brought to us and bestowed upon us as he continues to visit you, his people, and feed you and nourish you with his word and his sacraments. Imagine that being in the top one place of your life. Remember when I said one out of one people die? Well, that's the same ratio of how important your faith and your life as a Christian has to be. It's number one out of one. Because he brings his victory over sin and death and the grave to you. He brings his victory and his compassion to you even as you suffer, even in the midst of your sorrows and griefs. And that's probably the most difficult thing for people to even understand. Suffering hits hard. And we're so quick to be blaming God or some other ridiculous thing because you don't recognize the truth. God is right here in all his grace and his love and his compassion. Even as you walk through this veil of tears, even as you feel your crosses bearing down on you and crushing you under their terrible sinful load. I'm with you always, he says. Here he is, where he promises to be. And this is where a truly great miracle takes place in your lives. We hear this good news and believe it. Through the working of the Holy Spirit in these God's means of grace and life, we hear and we believe. In faith and through faith, we are able to recognize and glorify God even in the midst of suffering. You see, faith just sees things differently. So often you're quick to assign blame to God when suffering enters into your lives as if it's His fault. You see this kind of weird pattern forming. Well, if I could just play my divine organ grinder, and God, who I have chained up to it, would dance and do for me what I want Him to do, boy, would I be excited about that. And then when God doesn't live up to our dancing monkey thoughts, when something goes wrong, we're like, what's wrong with you? That's how the old Adam sees things. It's God's fault. Faith sees things differently, though. The old Adam is the one in the garden. Remember that? Hey, Adam, what happened? Well, it wasn't me. It was that woman you sent me. She's broken. What? Eve, what happened? Well, it wasn't me. It was that serpent. He's broken. See what's going on? The wife you gave me, Lord, is broken. So it's your fault. The serpent in the garden is broken. It's your fault. Do you see how that is no confession of sin whatsoever? Even when all hell breaks loose in your lives and things are at their darkest, faith recognizes your loving and merciful God in your midst. Through faith, you understand that God is working all things for good for those who love Him. God is working all things for good for those who love Him. God is working all things for good for those who love Him. At no point did I say, God is making your life easier and happier and more wealthy if you love Him. He just says, you will never be alone no matter what evil befalls you today. Unfortunately, so many people miss that. He is working through the darkness and suffering to bring you and others close to Him and His compassion. He didn't cause the pain and suffering, but He is working good out of such pain and suffering. He didn't say, all right, Paul, take a knee. When things got hard, He goes, take a knee, get on the bench, bring in who is the second string. Nobody. God doesn't have the second plan. Faith understands this. Faith recognizes and runs to and holds fast to your living God and His miraculous compassion. Compassion which He bestows on you in a very real and tangible way. It's called the Word and the Sacraments. The miracle of faith is that we glorify and praise God even as we suffer for great mercy and compassion, for the fact that we are His and nothing and no one can ever steal that away from us. Maybe that promise leads us away of saying, well, if nobody can steal away from it from us, I can neglect it and focus on other stuff. I'm starting to think that's my next paper I'm writing. See, my prayer for you, and believe it or not, for me, is that through the God-given miracle of faith, you're always able to recognize and glorify God in these very humble yet powerful miracles of His grace and compassion. I don't think it takes one of us to rise from the dead to have a wonderful church attendance. Doesn't take somebody to rise from the dead to have a wonderful report to give to the world out there that is literally suffering. May it not take something tragic to get your attention and to get you to finally look up and acknowledge God. And may you never cast blame on God for the suffering you are facing. May it not take something miraculous like a resurrection from the dead to get you to recognize and glorify God. Instead, may the miracle of His resurrection and these, the fruits and gifts of His resurrection in word and sacrament, be all you ever need for all joy and peace and believing. May His compassion and real presence visitation be your report and your glory. May it be witnessed in all that you say, think, and do. You might say, well, that's a lot. That's true. You've been given a lot. And now may this ever-abiding and unfailing compassion and peace of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith. And may this same compassion and peace remain with you always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.